Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me. With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good morning and greetings in Jesus' name. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, as we get into the study this morning, I'm asking the Holy Spirit to be with me, to give me the guidance and to open our hearts and minds, Father, to be receptive and to give us greater understanding as we read and study this word, to give us stronger faith and a closer walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, be with us throughout this study, and I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We're going to be in the Gospel of John, chapter 13, this morning. We're coming on through, John. There's been a lot of stuff in John, bringing out a lot of things. He is a very powerful writer. Now, verse 1, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. You see, Jesus loved his disciples and those that were around him and his earthly family and all. And he loves all mankind. Now he knows that he's got to go back to the Father. And he's kind of sorrowful in a way, but also glad that he is going back to be with his Father. Verse 2, and supper being ended, The devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. 3. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was home come from God and went to God. Now, he came from the Father, and he knows that he's going back to him. 4. He rises from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. 5. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Now, you see, we have a lot of churches today that have what they call foot washing nights, where everybody that goes has to wash somebody else's feet. But that wasn't given as a third ordinance to the church. Jesus was doing this for a purpose. He began to wash the feet because, you see, back then, because they wore sandals, they didn't wear socks and all like we do. They could be clean all over, but their feet would be dirty because they walked mainly on dirt paths and dirt roads. They didn't have pavement like we have today. And washing the guest's feet was always done by the humblest of the servants. And it was considered a menial task. And perhaps Jesus had waited for one of the disciples to perform this task, but they were evidently debating who should be the greatest. Now, the purpose of the action was to set an example, not to establish an ordinance. And he said, do as I have done to you, not do what I have done to you. It was a lesson on humility and service that they sorely needed. Now, we know this, but you know, and the reason for that is going to become more clear here in just a second. Here's verse 6. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? And Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Here's Peter again. Peter saith unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. You see, this was done in order to be teaching them a lesson in humility and service to others. That's what it was done for. It wasn't to start an ordinance in the church. 9. Simon Peter saith unto him, since Jesus had answered him like he did, Peter said unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Just wash me all over. 10. Jesus saith unto him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. Now here in this verse 10, there's two things that he's putting to them. And this one though they are clean everywhere but their feet, because they are saved. So they've been cleaned by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, and he goes on here to tell them, you are clean, but not all. This but not all, he is referring Judas in his betrayal. You see, if the guest had bathed properly at home, only his feet needed cleaning. Jesus says the whole bath is not necessary because Peter has already been washed. In other words, he's saved. Jesus uses Peter's comment to suggest that a traitor is in their midst. One of them needs the whole bath, but it is not Peter. More should be translated bathed. The whole body needed this wash. Probably translated only the hands and feet need this. The same word is used in verses 5, 6, 8, 12, and 14. And in verse 13, washing their feet did not mean that he was not their Lord. Rather, it showed that the work of the Lord was service, among other things. But yes. Now, 11. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore, said he, ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet and had taken their garments and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? 13. You call me Master and Lord, and you say well, for so I am. Now 14. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Now, but you see, this is not as an ordinance to, he is talking to his disciples, and he's not saying this is for all. He is talking to his disciples here. Now, this verse one another state, Jesus is merely setting an example, not establishing an ordinance. There's little evidence that the early church practiced foot washing, except as a social custom. And they did that even in homes. They kept water sitting by the door when people had traveled and come to their home. Their feet would be dusty and dirty, and they'd sit inside the door, wash their feet and all, and they wasn't tracking up a whole lot. Now, we know that the practice is not mentioned in Acts. The only other mention in the New Testament is 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 10, where widows may be provided for by the church only if they have practiced the custom specifically on the saints. Now, but we do have them today. That once a year, they have what they call a night for foot washing. Now, seventeen. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled, He that eateth bread with me has lifted up his heel against me. And here again he's talking about Judas Iscariot. No, 19. Now I tell you before it comes, that when it is come to pass, you may believe that I am he. 20. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whosoever I send receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. So you see, in receiving the Lord Jesus Christ, as I have been teaching for a long time, when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, you are also receiving the Father, because the Father is in Jesus, Jesus in the Father. And when we bring Jesus into our life, we are bringing both. And then we have already been given, those that are born again have been given the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. So we have the deity of the Godhead within us. That's why we can do whatever needs to be done. Because, you see, it's not by our power. No. It is done by their power. We can speak things to bring it into being and bring it into motion, yes. But the power that makes it come about comes from the Holy Spirit of Almighty God as he works through you and I. Now, 21. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. 22. Then disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. 23. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples, whom Jesus loved. John here is talking about himself. Now, we find that out from other Gospels. 24. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. You know, one of his disciples, the disciple whom Jesus loved, was John. We know this. And Peter is asking him because he was there with Jesus, leaning on him, of who it would be. Now, 25. He then laying on Jesus' breast said unto him, Lord, who is it? And Jesus answered, he it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. Now, 27. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest, do quickly. He's telling him, what you are going to do, do it, go and do it. 28. Now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. For some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said unto him, buy those things that we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. Now, 30. He, then having received the salt, went immediately out, and it was night. You know, a host would often distinguish an honored guest by giving him a choice morsel dipped in the sauce and placing it on his tongue. In contrast, this with Judas' kiss in the garden, evidently only John heard the explanation of this act. And it was night. Given the light versus darkness imagery in John's writing, this observation should not go unnoticed. The Lord Jesus is about to engage the forces of darkness. This is the hour he has long awaited. Now, you know, and this is, because as we have come through all of these, the times, been many, many times he has told them that it was not his time. All meaning the coming of his death and his departure from this life and going back into heaven. Now, verse 31. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. And this glorified that he's talking about here refers to the Lord's death, burial, and resurrection. Now, 32. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself and shall straightway glorify him. 33. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, you cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, love one to another. You see, we are to be there for each other, because that's what love is all about, is being there for those that we love when we are needed. And there will be times that you and I will be needed in all of these places. Now, 36. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, whither I go, thou cannot follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Now we know Peter is not really understanding this at this moment. He will learn, but at this moment he's not really understanding what the Lord is saying to him. He answers the Lord really that way. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Oh, there's that big mouth again. Always proclaiming a lot of things that he really don't know anything about. Now, 38, Jesus answered him, "Will thou lay down thy life for my sake?" He asked him that question, you know. But before he answered that, he gave him another talking to here. "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice," three times. Then that same night, "The cock will not crow three times until you have denied me three times." Now, we have come to the end now of chapter 13. And we'll be going in to 14. But we're not going there this morning. We're going to stop here. And God willing, we'll get into 14 this evening at 6 p.m. Eastern time. So let us now, as we close God's word, go to the Lord in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your word, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus and for the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for the times we can come together to share the new word with each other in love for each other and for the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we pray for Israel. We pray for peace for them. But we pray, Father, for them all to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and as their Messiah. Father, this land of ours, filled with so much evil, because it turned its back and walked away from the Lord Jesus Christ, from your word. And Father, from you. Now, Father, those that are sitting in our high place offices of our government, that is filled with evil, that has brought this evil upon us, pray, Father, for them to be replaced. And to be replaced, Father, with those that belong to you, that love you, love the Lord Jesus, loves your church, your people, and this land, and that will work with us to bring this land to repentance and put our government back upon the foundation which you founded. That being, Father, your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, I'm praying for all saints to be in health, to be walking and keeping your commandments. And Father, I'm praying that all saints, wherever they are, will come together as one, become a member of your church. Not just a church, but your church, Father. Walking in accordance with this word, bringing it back out to life by the way they live it, so that those that are walking in darkness can see what they are missing and what they need in this life, and that it will help to bring them, Father, from darkness to the light, and that they will go to the Lord Jesus Christ and repent and be saved, Father, and start their life anew. Now, Father, I pray for those that is on my, that is in my heart, and on my lips. Now, Father, any powers, get us lead. Amy and Tom, Jacob, Bobby and Millie, Daryl, Debbie, Sue, my wife, James Taylor, myself, and all of our families, our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, and each family member, aunts, uncles, cousins, all our brothers, sisters, mothers, dads, that all our can walk in health, walk in salvation, come together to do your work and to make heaven their home. Father, it's not to lift us up, to make of us anything other than your child, but to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ with praise, honor, and glory. Now, Father, be with us throughout this day. Keep us in health. Keep us safe. And bring us together again this evening at 6 p.m. and back into your word. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Have a good one. Lord be with you.